What was
your mom's name?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth?
Mm-hmm.
And what was your dad's name?
My dad, his name was Titus.
Titus?
Yeah.
Titus
Henze.
Titus Henze?
Mm-hmm. Gee, I never even see. I know him a little bit, you know,
but
when he died. Yeah.
And then your mom married a couple other people?
Yeah. She was married 3 times, I think, uh-huh. with Paul and Edward.
Paul Williams?
Paul Kaikuk. She was married to Edward Bergman last, you know. He died a couple of years ago. That song really teach me lots that time. Yeah, because he tell me all kinds of stories that they used to do. And that's how I started to stay down this way, and I can't go back up South Park again. It's like.
And how about your grandparents?
My grandpa, Henze, he used to race up. I'll tell you a story about him a little bit. He used to race down around Hog River, way down there, Blue Hill.
He's raised up?
Yeah, he raced down there. And pretty soon he got. Come up to man, I guess, and he moved up here.
And,
Henze. Yeah.
And his first name?
Yeah, that's his name. Oh, you know, long ago, they just got one name. You heard that? Yeah. They had no name, and white man came around, and he just named them. Because a lot of people had two brothers, you know. Their last name is different, but can't help it. That's the way they got their name, like Jim Kaikuk, you know. They named him that way, and his younger brother was Johnny Oldman. But somehow...
His younger brother is Johnny.
Yeah. His really brother was Johnny Oldman. So, but his older brother was Jimmy Kaikuk. See, that's the way it was, used to be. Like my grandpa, Beatus, you know. He just got one name. Linus, all, and Sulphawk Henry, Big William. That's all one name they got, you know, long ago.
Your grandpa Beatus, is your mother's father?
No, he was married to my grandma. You know, Henze's sister used to be Louise. That one come up to with his brother, I guess, move up here. So this Beatus married to this grandma. That's why I call him grandpa, you know. And he raised me, he kept me for quite a too, and they're all four brothers, though, this Linus, Big Beatus, Sulphawk Henry, and Big William. Four brothers, they used to be, left up this way. And, you know, I'll tell you a story about Grandpa. What Henze, he was a young man when he moved up here. And he don't know anything about these mountains, you know, down around. There's a lot of mountains down there, but he never hunted sheep before, you know. And this Big Williams, their father, they name him Alexander, you know. He just keep it, just like his boy, I guess. He tell him to what to do.
So, and Henze's dad was Alexander?
No, that's different. When Henze moved up here, you know, and this man is just started to keep him just like, you know, with his boys.
Oh,
and they started to hunt. And pretty soon, Henze, my grandpa said, he don't know anything. And he started to follow sheep on this bluff, you know. And pretty soon he got stuck. He got no way to come down. He was just following around the corner, I guess. I never see Sheep Mountain, but I always see a lot of pictures of it. And some places just cliff down like this. And he was just following around, started following this sheep, where that sheep was going. But soon he can't go no, because he looked down and it get worse. This leg, he said, going to fall down, roll down. And I don't know how, he's going to lift, that's why, I guess. He was trying to find on his way. But soon he find a good place. And this old man, Alexander, told him not to do that no more. I never even thought of that. You're going to do that. Because, you know, he don't know that country up there before, that's why. You know, when they hunt sheep, they have to really watch, I guess. Because sheep could climb any kind of place, you know. And one time, my grandpa, Big Bidis, they had a couple of dogs, you know, around the sheep mountain someplace. And every time, he just turned them loose. He had no kids of himself, you know, just half dogs. And just a couple of dogs run after sheep. Just taking off behind the sheep on the bluff, and then pretty soon they got stuck. It was, I don't know how far up. They got no way to come down. They find little places, platform, little places where they could stay, you know. They got no way to come down. I don't know how they get there, though. Started howling all night long. They had camped down here. There's no way that they could get it. And pretty soon, this one guy, his older brother anyway, Saltbuck Henry, they call him. That one had nail. You know, those nail, I guess, something like 16 pennies or something like that, maybe. And they started to think about it. So they make a couple of long pole, you know. They got long pole. And they splice it to halfway, I guess, tied with rope, you know. And make ladder just like that. Yeah. And then this Bidis, you know, he liked his dog so much, and pretty near he cry. You know, that his kids just like, you know. And one at a time he started to go up and bring it down, you know. Boy, he was glad, they say, when he get them down on ground. He don't like to turn those dog loose again after that, they say. Because when they see animal, they just go after it. And he thought they going to do that with sheep, but, you know, sheep could just climb any kind of mountain, you know. Yeah. And, you know, when we get married, I'll tell the story a little bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had hell of a time. Really, we had nothing just like. In no way to make money too, I think. We had about 5 dogs, but we just go by anyway, you know. And then it was all right until we stay and fall in down the camp, you know. Well, no snowshoes again. I make snowshoes before that, but I never tried to fill it or anything. And I was just out of luck that time too. I don't know how. I just started bent snowshoes, you know, and then I go halfway and then it just break. I don't know how many birds I bring home. But I keep trying it. Never give up. Every time I bring it home, and then they tell us not to burn it or anything too that time. Even right now, I can't burn it when I work on it. Or I can't leave it on trail. Once you can't find it, you just can't find it. That's some kind of birds. That's the way it is. You know, they tell us not to leave those ceilings and trays, and I believe it too. Because once you can't find birds, it's just something. You can't find it too. And first time I make snowshoes, I think I just leave it on trail or something. And this was going to be my second snowshoes, you know. And fall time, I started to look for snowshoes, but I can't find nothing. So, I don't know, it's just funny, I guess. I just cut it up and threw my stove. Every time I break it, I keep it doing. Finally, I got some kind of snowshoes, you know. It don't look like it, but anyway, it just bent up anyway, you know. Dry, all the way dry, and I drill it. And then next was no filling. We had a little piece of moose skin. Good size one, you know. That's when we really had hell of a time. Nobody around to. Nobody to ask, you know, how to make it or anything. I never cut rope before, but she cleaned it good. And bomb knife too, not even pocket knife, that's what make it worse, you know. Some kind of big knife. I make it, or something like that, you know. Every time I, lucky when I go this far with it, you know. Very soon I cut it off. I try to make it narrow, so it's going to be filling, you know. That filling was nothing but ashes, just like black it get. Because every time we break it, you know, we put ashes on a point and tie it with that ashes so it wouldn't come off, slip off. After when we when we finish it, you know, dry it, just black, nothing but just black, you know, but what we did was, now how to fill snowshoe snakes? Nobody around. We got to learn ourselves. Pretty soon, I started look. There was cache back here, you know. I go around that cache. Pretty soon, I find one side of snowshoes. She started look at it, you know. He would look at it, and she copied that snowshoes. And pretty soon she filled that snowshoes up. That's really hard thing to learn, I think. That's why we'll never forget that thing. Why will we tell a story about it? Because if there was somebody around us, you know, maybe this person would tell us how to cut it. But I was just trying to learn myself and trying to cut it, you know. I go about this far and pretty soon I cut it. So we splice and cut, tie it again. We keep doing that and we got enough for that snowshoes anyway. Yeah, that's a hard thing to learn, I think. If we had good knife or something, maybe we would cut it easy, I think. But we had bomb knife too, and at the same time, we just use candle light, you know. Yeah. We sure had a hell of a time that time.
What other things were hard when you first got married?
Oh, first when we first got married, what was hard is no trail. We go alone all the time too. And she walk ahead of dogs sometime, and here I am pulling sleigh with my dogs too at the same time. Those what I call G-pull right from the sleigh. My jacket used to be just, what kind of jacket I had anyway that time? Caribou skin or something. Towards the last of winter time, just no hair. Right wearing out with that rope, you know, pulling. Yeah. And we try to go long, we try to trap, you know. That was a really hard thing. I hope I don't have that kind of life no more. I will stay. It would be easy for us if we got trail, you know. I don't have to pull or anything.
Where were you then?
We was down that way. But there was nobody around with us that time. And a lot of times, one time we was way down there, about 4 days from here, I guess, long ways. When we travel around this country alone, you know, when deep snow, that's not a hard thing. And we was down last camp way down there. That was December, before Christmas anyway. It snowed about this much, that's deep snow right there. My, yeah, that's loose snow we got to walk through. And she was light, and I tried it. We had a couple of dogs, you know. Started to come home this way. My, we really work hard to get to the other camp, you know. We keep doing that all the way to up here. That's lots of work right there. Yeah. No trail. And she walk ahead of dogs. Some places when we want to drink tea, we make tea. We had lots of fun too that time. We just make fun, you know. Laughing. Nothing for us, just like. Yeah. That's good.
Did you know Marie when you were growing up?
Oh, I meet her, but I never thought I'd get married, just like, you know. And after we're staying together, you know, we really had a hell of a time starting out, just like, though. Learning all these things, you know. Yeah.
So you learned a lot of things together,
though. Yeah, two of us, and she worked lots, too. She really could work. Yeah.
How old were you when you got married?
I was around 20, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were jumping all around. I was going back to your grandma.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You have any stories with her?
My grandma?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What kind of story we meant, I think? Yeah, I had a lot of stories from my grandma too long ago, you know. One time, all of them stay up there, you know, in the winter time. And there was a couple of families was there, you know, and they planned to go over that way towards Yukon River, I think. So all this family went over to one camp, they make up camp, where they never have camp before. They make camp, and there's a couple little kids, you know, little boys. There's some ground, it's just like this, you know, some places. And there was a bunch of that kind of hump on the front of the camp, you know. So they started slide down on this kind of hump. And they slide down, and pretty soon they find a bear hood. All these guys, all those men, take off hunting already, you know. And this, they look down, I guess, go and crawl in or something. And person they seen that something inside that was bear. And they tell their parents, their mother, I think, we see something out there in that hole. And there was one guy, you know, his name was Jack. And he was the last man that never started yet, you know, behind these guys, why they was going hunt, you know. That he was getting ready, and they tell him, why don't you go over there and check that place where this kid is talking about? And you know, that kind of animal is, when you're out of luck with it, you know, we can't find it. That's the way I am with them. So he go over there. And must be he'd check it in the places, you know. I'd never seen nothing. So he tell these guys, oh, there's no bear in there. And he left them. And he want to go right, start right away, I guess. And so just check that place, but nothing would stick, you know. There's nothing there. So he just tell him, there's no bear in there. So take off behind these people, you know. They went caught away, these guys. And they keep playing around. They said, they see him again, you know. And one of those women, I don't know, maybe grandma, Judy or somebody, go up there and start to check it, you know, with stick and person, they feel it right there with stick. So they pluck that hood up with stick, you know, so it wouldn't come out. And these guys went over the hills long ways. And there were two boys, you know. Their mom told them to go after these guys. Tell them that you guys find it. Well, they take off. Them days, kids could walk long ways, you know. Well, these guys go over the big mountain. And they start to make tea, have lunch, I guess. They know their track was way up there, and pretty soon those two boys started to come out. Way up there. And something wrong. They started to wait for them, you know. Pretty soon they get to these guys. What happened? They tell them. They say, we find bear right in the camp. And a little before that, this guy that tell them there's no bear in there, all these boys find bear hood too, and I check, but there was nothing in there. He took this guy, you know. And then, after that, these two boys came. Hey, Jack, we see that bear. There, all the people started to go home, you see. Yeah, and they come home and they take them out. Lots of meat, they say. There was hardly meat, that any meat, you know, what they want to eat. And after that, they started to hunt around, stay there. And long ago, you know, they didn't want to jump around and tell a lot of stories. You know, my grandma used to have igloo house all the time, you know. And they usually eat meat all the time. They boil it. And they drink that water with it. It's like they eat good. But one time grandma said, I guess they get tired of cooking, I don't know. Might as well cook all that meat one time. And we don't have to cook it again, they say. So they do it. He said he was going hungry with meat that time because no water. I did just drink water with it, but they don't feel like they eat, you know. Yeah. When they have fish with it, it's all right, you see. But a lot of times it's hard. Hard living. Because there's no white food or anything. And what they do in summertime, down around there, oh, about 7 miles back in Woodman Creek. There used to be Leak Creek in there. And what do you do in summertime? When there's no fish on the Skycook River, you know, what they do is people just get there and make fish trap in summertime. And get enough fish. And same way back in Fish Creek, there was a lake in there. But this Fish Creek, you know, there's some kind of places in there. I don't know if you know this story, but the first person that going to stay in there, you know, there's fish eggs in there too, you know. They tell this first person that get there not to eat fish eggs from way back, I think. So
what would happen?
Somebody get there and he get in there and hungry, you know. And they tell him, you better eat fish, but not to eat fish eggs. You're the first man to get hair. That's the first time you get hair. But he said, no, I don't care. I could eat anything. I'm hungry, he tell him, you know. But they keep telling him, but even that he just eat fish eggs or something like that. And he didn't last long after that, they say. He just died. Yeah. Good fish, all right, but that's the way they long ago.
Nobody could eat
fish? Like anybody could, I guess, right now, but that was long ago, you know. Long ago. I don't know how it'd be that way, but this is, it used to be that way.
Just for the first guy?
Yeah, just the first guy. After he stayed around for a while, it'd be all right, I guess, but not the first time when he get here, maybe. Oh. Yeah. And a lot of times, they really work hard to make their living, you know. Like my grandma used to have camp. They used to have camp right up there someplace. They got to get fish, so they went to Appalachia. What, the bird's boat, I guess.
How did they make their fish traps?
What this fish trap is, they make fence, you know. They got pulled all the way around, all the way across. Just like this. And they got those willows fence. That's lots of work, but that's what they used to do in Lake Creek.
Drive those pole
down. A good size dry pole, you know, about this big round and long, you know, and they use rock to point it in. Any kind of flat rock that they could point it good with, you know. It's about this deep. We used to make fish trap in there long ago to ourselves. And that's where they get their fish all the time.
How do you make a fence?
It's just middle. It has to be kind of down, you know, and both sides is going up so that fish can just go in that fish trap right here. Fish trap is about, I would say it's about 10 feet long, or maybe 8 feet long, I guess. And just round.
It's a basket, I think.
Yeah, it's just like a basket.
And that was made out of willow?
That made out of tree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good straight tree they find. And they make ring with it. And they split those other ones for the side. And I wish I could have a picture of it. It'd be about this. Yeah, about this. This take around maybe all the way from the point to back, you know.
Like
and about the point of that fish trap would be about this big, maybe. That's the way it got. And right point of this fish trap and this, not the little ones, tunnel. It looked like funnel, you know. It's about this long. And it's inside this fish trap. Back side of it is about this round, you know, where that fish can go through. And this sharp, this thing up like this, so it wouldn't come out, coming back out again. So when it go through right there, and it'll stay back there. And when in every morning we see it, you know, sometimes it's full up, you know, and that lots of fish right there.
How do you get those fish out?
Well, we take that front up, you know, lift the front up and start two of us holding it and go back to shore with it. Back down the bank, under the bank, you know. And we roll it back a little bit. And there's some kind of rope that you could make back there, you know, you can tie it, close it with. We take that one off and throw it in the boat like this. Take it off and throw it in the boat. Yeah. That was easy, but long ago, you know, when there was no twine or anything, you know, they used this willow bark or something. And that I didn't see that one though. But they say it used to be really something to see, because in springtime, what they do is they start to look for those long willows that they could take bark off, you know, long bark off. Every time they really work at it, they say, because When they bring it home, they'll throw it in water, let it stay in water, and make it narrow. I don't know how they work, it must be like this, you know. And start a net that fish net. If it's about this long, they just keep make it wet though, when they make it. Because if it dry up, you know, it'll just crack off, just like this. That's the way it is. So when they net that thing, they just leave half of it inside birch bark pot, you know. That's the way they used to have it. They can't leave it out there. So when they want to pull it out, they have to leave it back under the bank in the water. That's all they say. Yeah, I didn't see that one, but they say they really work on it. That's only what they could eat, you know.
Can I put a different lighting up there? Can I take some pictures in here?
Yeah.
Can I change that light bulb?
Oh, yeah.
I brought another light bulb.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. You could light that one and change this one.
Maybe I could put one in each one.
Uh-huh.
Did you make your own nets?
No, I didn't. She did, though. Not birds, woolly bark, though. You know, the really twine we're using.
The cotton?
Uh-huh.
Did she ever make her own twine?
I don't know. A lot of people get those oversized ones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they take half of it off long ago.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, when the people want to make fishing, they just try to get the right kind of size, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about making string out of flower sacks.
Oh, yeah. A lot of times they do that long ago, too. Mm-hmm.
A lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Gee, that's bright thing. What kind of bolt is that?
It's a 110 volt.
110?
Yeah, but it's a lot of watts. It's
Gee, I wish I got that kind of light.
500 watts.
Uh-huh.
This coloring also.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, make reading easy,
huh? Mm-hmm.
I'll wait just a minute.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's better to wake.
I got lotion, please.
Do you remember when you were real young, wintertime, that sound would carry real far?
What's that?
You could hear people chopping wood from real far away.
Oh, yeah. Really
from uh-huh. How far away you think you could you hear it?
When it's cold around here, we're still using that, you know. When it's cold, we could hear somebody cutting wood long ways out. When there's 60 or 70 below. And when you can hear lots of noise, long ways, you know. That's how come when they hunt long ago, they used to have some kind of moccasin, you know. Some kind of like this, you know. Mm-hmm. And what caribou skin. Mm-hmm. So they put this fur outside so it wouldn't make noise mm-hmm. when they hunt, they say. Yeah. Because, you know, when they go and hunt someplace in cold weather, they have to try to do something to not to make noise. If we're really going to hunt, we have to take our snowshoes off. I guess walking without snowshoes, maybe. Only way. If we're going to hunt, you know, I guess.
So hard to walk.
Hard to walk, but only way, you know. Because a lot of times it's hard to see anything, especially right here, you know. There's nothing but timber around, you know. No flat country or anything. It's on the river, but
do you remember when the first snow ghost came to this village?
Oh, yeah.
What was that like?
It was really something to us. You know, we heard about it before, and I forget who had one first. I think Simon. Simon Knit over. He used to work for fishing up around the coast, and one guy, his name was Bud Helmrich. He's living in Fairbanks, I guess. So he bought one snow goose from him, and he was the first one that had snow goose, I think, in here. Boy, that's really something to us that time, you know. Everybody had dogs, except him. What really was surprised is, he just leave it someplace, you know. When he won't come home, you know. When we have dogs, you know, when we go someplace, if we're going trap, you know, like we can tie dogs someplace for a couple hours. And then when you come back to your dogs and start hook up your dogs and they won't come home so much, and you had really hell of a time hook them up and hang on to sleigh. But when we see that snow goose like that Simon had, boy, I sure won't have one that time, because, you know, when he hunt, I mean, when he trap, he just leave it right there, you know. When he won't go, just take off just like this without any hollering or anything.
Do you remember what year that was? The first
what time? Year that was is, I would say about 60, I guess, somewhere around the 60 or 61, somewhere around there.
Did the kids get real excited?
Oh, yeah, really.
Want to ride on?
Uh-huh, really. And after that is almost everybody got snow goose, I think. I didn't have snow goose for a long time until we lost our dogs. I also want to have dogs all the time. But there was no kind of shot that time. It was about 7-8 years ago, maybe. In the springtime, our dogs got sick, and we just, there was about 5 left, you know, and we just give it to somebody. We don't have dogs since that time.
Did you watch the movies today?
Movie?
The movie on the dogs?
No. Did you see it?
I didn't see it. I
didn't even hear about it. Maybe did you see it, but I was not there.
I thought they said something at the meeting. They were just going to show movies on yeah, babies that's, and
uh-huh. Yeah, I sure would like to see that because in case if dogs get sick, you know. But what really dangerous on those fox or something like that? Because we've seen wolf like that one time up here. You know this wolf? How did he start? Up those trail to Bedels, you know. And this wolf from come from Bedels, someplace up that way anyway. And he go right through the village in Bedels, I think, and start to come down this way. And my mother happened to have, she have snare up this way, you know, without gun or something. I forget. Maybe she had gun, but in our story is woman not supposed to shoot it or something. Native worry again. And she was going across this way and presumed that wolf just come out right there. That no, she just turned off anyway. And started still run right there, waiting. And so what she did was make fire or something. And she stayed there for a long time. And finally that wolf go away, you know. So she just come back. And you, when you see wolf long ways, it's like person too. It's just, when you spot it long ways, she's just like a person walk. That's the way it is. And from cross river, other side, you know, this is somebody was coming. They thought that was wolf. And it go through right there. And stay around, I think. And pretty soon, just take off up South Fork Trail next. And William had camp in South Fork, you know. Good thing he just come back, you know. Not too long ago, a person dog started bark, he said. In daytime. Person, he just go out, I guess. Person, this wolf right over here, so he shoot him. That's only way to get rid of him. He was rabies, I think. And we seen fox like that too after that. So it's kind of dangerous for dogs, I think.
So women weren't supposed to shoot.
Yeah, that's our story. Not all of people, but that's the way they had it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Still a lot of women don't shoot guns?
I don't think so. I don't think women, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a funny story we got from way back, you know. A lot of ways is we're not supposed to, they say. And like when we kill wolf, you know, we'll just cut it up on every joint or something like that. Even though you won't put it away, they say to. And even wool bring the same thing. And
so
not to.
Every joint.
Yeah, every joint, like this, you know. Mm-hmm. And even you won't put it away, you know. And not to put it on trail. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what they used to say. Too many stories they used to have, I think, you know, our way.
What kinds of tools and things do you use now for hunting? Like when you go fishing, what do you use? What kind of nets or traps?
You mean when you were fishing?
When you go fishing during the summer?
Oh, we go to camp like that? Mm-hmm. Mostly we take everything like what you want to take, you know.
You use nylon nets?
Oh yeah, nylon nets. And mm-hmm. Mostly nylon right now. Because we don't have fish wheel up here, you see. And we just bought lots of fish net right now. And she, every time we go through, you know, 40 times, she just put it in drum or something and leave it for next summer. Yeah.
Do you use any kind of fish trap now?
Nothing. We don't use anymore. I don't know if we're allowed to use any more fish trap, but last time it's... About 10, 20 years ago, maybe, I make fish trap again last time. You know, back in a creek. It's the only time. I try to learn, that's why. And that's a good thing to learn to our kids too, I think, because someday we'll do it again.
You might have to.
Yeah, really. But another thing, the trouble is, when we make fish trap and then it starts to rain, we got to pull the whole thing out of that place because water will raise up one night. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
on back there anyway, you know. When we're out of luck with fish, every time we got fish trap, you know, it started to rain. So water come up, and then we pulled the whole thing out, let the fish go down again. Well, that fish is pretty swift. You can handle that thing out there when it's swift, you know. It'll just wash out, just like that. Yeah.
So to save the trap.
Uh-huh. We just put it back on top of the bank. And when first we set that fish trap, and we don't cut in much, you know. They just stay way back there. They know there's something down here. So they tell us to go back on this creek with canoe, make noise. That way we chase them into this fish trap. Yeah.
So when you go to camp, summertime,
mm-hmm.
you say Marie does goes some places and then you go other places, or do you go together?
We always have to go together all the time in a boat, you know. Mm-hmm. All the time. Mm-hmm. Same way with snow go. Yeah, with snow go to same way when we travel around, you know. But sometimes I go alone when I can go long ways though. I don't want her to walk, you know, because in case if we broke down and long ways out, you know. That's all I always get in my mind when I travel with Snuggle. Yeah.
Do you remember any other people from, back about when, in the 40s maybe? Any other trappers around or traders or maybe like there's a guy in Kaikuk named Dominic.
Uh-huh.
Remember anything about people like him?
Having store and buying fur or something? Uh-huh. Oh, it used to be one store, two one time.
Here?
Yeah, Woolford Evans. Who they called Sandu, and they was living next together. And then one winter, two winters, I guess, that was quite a while ago. Two of them had pretty good sized store. A lot of people was in here. That's how come there was two store in here, I think.
Why all the people?
It used to be a lot of people, you know, or they die, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. And fur was good price. Everything was cheap, you know.
You trapped, and so you got a bunch of fur. How do you sell your fur?
Oh, we have, right now, we have to find a fur buyer only way. Like one in Tanna, and there's another one around Northway, I mean Tope, another one in Copper Center. Well, if we got fur, like me, if I got fur, I can ship it to them, you know. And then if we got little chicken, we order food from Lendy's.
Uh-huh.
Right now.
Uh-huh. How about when you first sold fur? How did you do that?
Oh, like one time after the Sandoon and Wolford Evans had store, you know, and for some reason Wolford quit store, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, no store right there. Sandoon moved up to Bell's.
Uh-huh.
They don't make much now towards the last, I guess, so he moved up to Bell's. And Wolford was running store here and he quit. For some reason, he said somebody, I don't know how, he quit or something. And there was no store in here, nothing. Just one in Hughes. That's about 75 miles by river, but Portage would be a little shorter, you know. So everybody, what they do is while they got chance, they get enough food for winter time, like sugar, flour, all that thing. And he had a big boat, good size power boat, you know. So what they do is they just make order to use. Try to get enough, you know. Enough sugar, anything, offer all winter long. So this old James, he bring his boat up with this food for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the last he do that, but before that is he never did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when people get fur, you know, and nothing to buy in here, so anytime they want to go get fur, I mean, groceries they want to use, long ways, but they have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they eat, you know. And they keep doing that for a long time. And then, pretty soon, this guy named George Black, he used to be hauling freight on a barge, you know. He knew a lot of people up here. He used to go through this Kaikuk River a lot of times, all his life, I guess. Uh-huh. And he found out there was no store here. So he makes a store in here. And he let this missionary like Michelle and Miss Kay, staying back here in Mission, they're running that store for him. For I don't know how many years it's been that way. It was all right. And pretty soon they quit that one too. And around 1953, I think, somewhere around there, there was a missionary, you know, like bishop or things like that. Mm-hmm. They make a store in there. That's the one that's that Ike store right now. Oh, yeah. Okay. So we really have a hell of a time without store for a long time too. Mm-hmm. Like, we went to use in springtime in April. That's for spring output, you know, a little bit, like sugar or something. My first trip was 1945, I think, 44, I think, to Hughes, you know. That's the first time I went by myself, I mean, with somebody, you know, try to get little food.
How did you travel that time?
With dogs, four dogs, yeah. Everybody had dogs, you know.
What was the weather like that time?
It was simply like this, but it was lots of snow all the time, every year, though. Snow is so deep, you know.
3 feet.
Yeah, sometime, you know. I remember a lot of times with that way. Mm-hmm. And when you go down there and start the snow, you'll have a hard time come up, but mm-hmm. you know, dogs, you can travel anytime, you know.
What was that trip like when you went to Hughes?
Oh, it was good for me, you know. First time I seen that village down there.
Was it real different, or was it? How did you think?
It was different for me. Different than up here, you know.
What kind of things were different?
Oh, people are talking good and they're so smart. You know, long ago, a lot of people, they used to talk with each other. I mean, older people especially. Like John Woolman was one of them that lived down there. And any time when they see somebody, some kid, it's not right, you know. He just go walk up to this kid, you know, and try to be good. He talk with him. Yeah. Try to turn him to be a good boy or something like that, you know. Work. Don't just walk around for nothing. Try to help your parents or something. Yeah, that's the kind of person he used to be. Yeah. And when we get down there and we know lots, I mean, he talk with us lots, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Really nice guy he used to be.
Did you see him after that?
Oh, yeah, a lot of times. This guy was all-around man, I think. He used to work good.
When you made that trip, that first trip, were you really excited about going?
Oh, yeah, I was really excited. Just can't sleep, just like, you know. I mean, in the morning, I won't go right away. Yeah.
Did your dogs go fast?
It was pretty good. I don't know how they were strong enough to travel, you know, but... Not for load though, but anyway, I just get there where I want to go. Behind these people, they leave me behind though, other people, you know.
What things did you get there?
Oh, I just bought little food like sugar, flour, 22 shells, something like that for spring camp.
Did Johnny Oldman, is that his name?
Yeah, he used to live down there and he was just person, he liked him Kaikuk, you know, so I used to camp with them all the time. I like his, my grandpa disliked him, so I used to stay with them.
What kinds of things did he teach you?
Oh, a lot of things, you know, how to hunt or something like that, and how to make something like snowshoes. If he was up here, you know, he would teach us right when I was stuck, you know, if he was around, you know, he would tell me what to do. Yeah, this was a really smart guy, they say, and we see it too, because he used to make a strong speech, you know. I can't understand what they're talking about long ago. you know, they're talking different when they're making speech. That's the truth. I don't know what they mean, some word, you know.
What kind of words?
I don't, a strong word. I mean, I don't know, like, easy word, but they just pronounce it different, just like, you know. And they don't talk English, but they talk our language, you know. Every time when there's potlatch, you know, John Oldman used to talk lots with people, you know, thank them, all that, how lot of work to get this much food, you know, all that thing. Yeah.
But he used words a little differently.
Yeah, strong. I don't know how he pronounced.
Would he tell stories with his words?
Yeah, you know, he talked a little different. What I can't understand, you know, this time. I don't know how it'd be that way. A lot of people used to be that way long ago. Well, they start to thank each other, you know. People used to, when there's potlatch going on, especially. My grandpa used to make lots of speech too, but I was so small, I don't know what they were talking about, you know. One person get out there and talk, thank people how much food there is and all that, you know. Next person, keep doing that for a while until they start to serve this food. Yeah.
When did you learn how to speak English? Did your parents?
No, not too long ago, I guess. Because my grandpa, they never used to talk English much, you know. No white people when I raised up. I used to, there was a lot of people in Bedlis though, like when I stayed with my grandpa, you know. There was quite a few white people left there. There was Ernie Johnson, Rudy, Jim Murphy, Frank Tyson, Ed Masson, Young Joe. There's a lot of people there, white people, you know, when I raised up in there. I stayed there for a couple of years.
How old were you then?
I was smaller. Mm-hmm. I was smaller.
How did it change here when white people started coming?
You know, it's learning pretty good. I mean, good, you know. Yeah.
It seems like whenever there's a change, there's some good things happen and some bad things happen.
We learn more just like, you know, really, when we see white people, what we don't know, they tell us, you know, that's the way it is.
Do you remember some of the things that helped you out most when you learned?
Well, during my work, I learned a lot of things from white people on carpentry, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. What I don't know, and they show me what to do right there. Yeah. And they really helped me out too right there.
You mean like maybe making a door or something?
Yeah. Building houses, you know, if I get stuck. I always have to find good partner, all the time. I always have partner, you know. I tell them what to do, and they really help me out that way, too. Yeah.
They learn from you, too.
Huh? Not from me. I'm learning from him almost, yeah.
Didn't white people come here and not know what to do or not know how to get food and have to learn?
Yeah.
You remember any stories of that?
Just white people or something?
Yeah, white people who came and didn't know how to live here.
Oh, we didn't see white people lately, you know, but every time we've seen somebody that come around, you know, they know what they're doing, you know, how to make a living or something, go through with the boat or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember, Oscar was talking about a man who lived on this side, a white man. Uh-huh. He called himself Jesus Christ. He said he was a funny man and didn't have food. Maybe it was when
I didn't
heard
about
really
it. Young. Yeah, when long ago, I guess. But anyway, when I heard stories, you know, long ago, is when first they see white people, you know, a lot of times they try to help each other, but they couldn't understand each other too, you know, white people and Indian. But anyway, they talk by hand or something like that, I guess. Yeah, that's the way they used to be.
What did you think of the gold miners that were around here?
Oh, yeah, used to be a lot of gold miners around. I mean, not too many, but there was one South Fork.
There must have been some real characters.
Yeah, and a lot of people work on the bars too, you know, long ago. On those big bars, like, there was one around Henshaw. There's a couple of guys. working in there, you know, white people.
Do you remember any kind of strange things they might have done?
No, that's the first time. That's all. That was really strange thing I seen was one guy who was in South Park for a while, you know, and then my parents didn't want to move to Bettles in fall time. So we started, they started lining up. What is that?
Stove maybe.
That's some of the shoot or something. Yeah, and this first time was, what really strange for me is who was start from South Fork, you know, and then about maybe 15 miles above there, there was one white man there. His name was, what's his name again? I forgot his name. Anyway, he was mining on a bar, you know. We stayed overnight in there. And they had that loose boxes and everything, you know. And water pump. And he used shovel to throw mud in these loose boxes, just like this. That was really something. That's the first time I've seen that kind of work, you know. Yeah.
What did you think he was doing?
I don't know what he was doing, but I just think, what he tried to wash that gravel off for, just like, you know. Yeah, that was, he was mining.
Did it look like he was working real hard?
Really hard. Really hard. He's sweating, you know. But he don't work steady, though. He take a rest once in a while. That's his work. That's his company anyway, you know. So he just stopped that engine and stayed around for a while and started again. Raymond Jones, that's his name, white guy. That was just, that's really something to me that time, because I never seen that before and never heard that kind of noise before. I just look at that engine little, which I was so small, you know, but yeah.
Then you found out what he was doing?
Yeah, I found out what they were doing now that time. Because after that, we started to see a couple of guys going back and forth on the river, you know. And one time, there's people from Don Hoosley, who they call Eddie Vant, old Eddie Vant, you know. He used to marry to a native down there. And I guess he lost his wife, died or something. So he come up this way and mining on the bar, you know. Like Don Redmond, and he working there too for a while. And he just keep going up to Bettles, I think. And while he was doing that, and he went way up above Bettles, and he stayed one winter in there too. I don't know how he make out, but anyway, he really come back and forth, you know, working on those bar. Must be he's making money. And they spent winter up there, you know, and he had two boys with him, Willie Bent and Eddie. And they used to come down to Bettles when we was in there. I was small, but they used to stay overnight with my grandpa, Beatus, and them all the time. And stay with them, you know. They come down with a couple of dogs and stay around for a couple of days. All winter long they do that. And they cut wood for grandpa. I remember that time. Hauling wood for him.
Did you ever want to go try to mine gold yourself?
Myself? I would try if I knew how. But, you know, I don't know how. We just don't start, you know, trying to mine, you know. But I don't know anything about gold. Just in Hog River, that's all I see, gold, you know. But maybe it'll be good for us if we try, but nobody try. Just one time, that's all, Tony Morris, you know, he bought Tony and somebody, four of them anyway. Somebody sold those water pump, $100, $25 each, I guess. And they said it was cooled down around 4 miles. That was quite a while back, you know, long ago. And they bring that engine down and they was going mining in there, but they just haul it down and just leave it there. until it, I didn't know what had happened. Maybe I pushed it back in bush. I didn't know. I never seen him around no more. They was going mining. There were four of them on the bar, you know. But they didn't even try. But long ago, you know, like one Indian friend is mining down Utopia. His name was Alfred Isaac. This William Staddy. Are you got to meet William? He's working back here in the John River, I mean, office all every day sometime. Yeah, this was Indian guy, you know. And then, must be they know gold before, you know. So when they went over to Utopia, there was no white people around. And I don't know how he find it. He told, and there used to be good mining camp in there for a long time. And that's how this, you know, a couple of days ago, I was telling a story about that one guy got sore and he's all over, you know, he was trying to find gold too, you know. And this was really native, but I don't know how he find it.
Yeah. What town is that?
Down Hughes, right out, close to Hughes. That's about 75 miles down Blue, you know. You know, Indian Mountain, you heard about it? Close to that one down here. You can see that mountain if you take off from the airplane right here. Big high mountain down that way.
Looks like Indian?
No, they just call it Indian Mountain in kind of that, where that they find gold, that's why I think. That's why they call it Indian Mountain. And they got some kind of camp in there right now, I think. Somewhere.
So did he get money from that?
Yeah, somebody said $2,000 or something like that. I'm not too sure. Anyway, it was not too much anyway. So he was a rich man. That's one Indian, you know. I don't know how he found it.